Galatians chapter 5. Let's pick it up in verse 16 and let's go all the way through 24. Paul writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit." I love that phrase right there. Amen. Anytime we see the phrase walk in the scriptures, I get excited because our church is birthed out of the reality that we're called to walk out our faith, yeah, that Jesus wants to walk his life in and through us. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." Can I get an amen? It's real right there. "For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Verse 19 says that now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I am grateful that we have this phrase, things like these, because we have this sinful spirit that kind of resides within our flesh that wants us to try to justify our ill choices at times. Well, that falls into the things like these, all right? And so I just want to encourage you, you know, and maybe even discourage you, that all of us are in here somewhere. And the reason why is because we have the flesh that, just like the scripture said, is opposed to the Spirit. And though you might be saved, your soul, your spirit, you're saved for eternity, your flesh ain't saved. Your flesh is still trying to figure out what just happened to you. And so there's this battle that's going on within you. Paul says the flesh is opposed to the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit is opposed to the work of the flesh. When I preached on a similar verse a few weeks ago, I put a scoreboard up, right? The flesh, the Spirit. Who's going to win, right? Every day we want to continue to pass the flesh. No, we don't want to pass the flesh the ball. We want to pass the Spirit the ball, right? And we want the Spirit man within us to continue to grow and lead us in everything we do, say, and think. Here's what the scripture says. Stay with me here. He says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So Paul gives a stark warning here in the word that if you start to examine your life, and I don't know if this is a real word or not, but you look a little more fleshy than you do like Christ, you might want to examine if you're even saved. Because the Spirit of God is going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, the life of Christ in and through us. And he says, you know what? If this more so defines you, then here's what you need to do. You need to repent. And you need to trust in Christ as your Savior and heed his voice. Let's continue to look here. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and this is where we pick it up today. "But the fruit of the Spirit is," say this with me, "love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions." And this is the word of the Lord here today. We're coming out of this section, verses 16 all the way to 21, where Paul really identifies this battle going on. And the last sermon I preached in this series, I titled it, "The Flesh is No Help at All." And we really put the magnifying glass on the flesh and how the flesh is at war within us. Today, I want to talk about the Spirit. And I want us to emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit in a message that I'm titling simply out of the scriptures, "Walk by the Spirit." If you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you to jot that down. Walk by the Spirit. In fact, make it a little uncomfortable in the room. Look at the person closest to you and say, "Walk by the Spirit." Come on, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And you can say back to them now and say, "You walk by the Spirit," right? That's what we're doing. Trying to walk by the Spirit. It's not by accident that Paul the Apostle in Galatians 5 on three separate occasions says, walk by the Spirit. He says, keep in step with the Spirit. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, implying that the Spirit-led life is the Christian life. It's not an on and off switch. It's not like, hey, on Sunday, I feel spiritual. No, no. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives every single day. We're called to walk by the Spirit. Now, I want to answer this question. Why is it important for us to walk by the Spirit? Why do we need to walk by the Spirit? Why should we be thinking about walking by the Spirit? A couple thoughts I want to give to you in the form of points. Number one, it might sound a little simplistic, but don't let it go over your head. Number one, we need the Spirit. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit, church. And there's several reasons why we need the Spirit. Let me just list a few. Number one, we need the Spirit because we're not holy and He is. If you examined all of our lives over the last 24 hours, there would be some things in our heart, in our mind, in our activity that is not holy like the Lord. Can I get a mm-hmm? For me too. In fact, if you were to get a peek into the window of eternity, into heaven, right this moment, it would blow your mind. You would see angelic beings, myriads and thousands of them, chanting out this phrase about God Himself, saying, holy, 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 right? Not holy, not holy, holy, but this three-time affirmation declaration of the holiness of God. And then we land here and we go, man, that ain't me. But God does call you to be holy like He is. How are you gonna do it? We need help from the Holy Spirit Himself. Why should we walk by the Spirit? Well, because we need the Spirit if we got any chance for holiness. If we have any hope to actually live out the Scriptures and what the Scriptures are calling us to live, we're going to need supernatural Holy Spirit help. We need the Spirit because we're not holy and He is. Listen, we need the Spirit because we're sinful and He's not. Right. We need the Spirit because we tend to drift away from God. The Holy Spirit leads us to God. Amen. We need the Spirit because we're finite. He's infinite. We don't possess the eternalities like He does. What do I mean? He's in tomorrow. He was before. He is to come. And so we need the Holy Spirit because we're trying to figure out how to even get through today. So Holy Spirit, activate. Amen? Do a work in my life, right? I remember that was trending a few years back. We need the activation of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit because we don't possess the power within us to change. And the Holy Spirit rose Christ from the grave. So we need that Spirit within us. We need the Holy Spirit because Ephesians 2 says that we're spiritually dead, not taking a nap, not just taking a break. We're dead. The Holy Spirit's alive. In fact, one of the references of the Spirit is He is the Spirit who gives life. And so because this is our state and this is who the Spirit is, we need the Holy Spirit because we're not God, He is. And so I just want to encourage you with this thought. When it comes to walking by the Spirit, we need the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something today. We are needy people. And the Holy Spirit is eager to help with a capital H. This is who He is. But if you don't recognize, if you're not aware of your neediness, you may miss the reality and the goodness and the sweetness and the power of the Spirit at work in your life. So we call upon the help of the Holy Spirit. Point number one, we need the Spirit. Point number two, feed the Spirit. Come on, amen. So it's not enough for you to just say, I'm aware, I'm cognitively aware, I need the Spirit. What we also need is an awareness that we need to feed the Spirit. It's that same reference, right? Who are you going to let win today? Have you ever heard this phrase before? What you feed grows. It's just a principle for life. And I want to encourage you to continue to feed the Spirit of God. Here's a reality statement if you're writing things down. Check this out. The more you feed the Spirit, the more the Spirit will feed you. Yeah. I love that right there. Just processing the work of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in our lives. Come on, I love the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Against these things, there's no law. All nine fruit of the Spirit, I need to eat from all of them. The more you feed the Spirit, the more he feeds you his fruit. And not only that, but I think you'll begin to realize you need to eat a healthier diet. And I'm not just saying that physically, but if the Spirit tells you that, that too. Yeah. But for sure, spiritually, the Holy Spirit is feeding us something better. I think you got to take some inventory. What are you feeding? Here's what I know as a dad of five little boys, 10 and under. That I'm aware, and just being around a bunch of little kids, if you were to grab the most incredible filet, just all types of different sides, for the vegans in the room, a bed of cauliflower, all right, whatever your thing is, your most decorative meal, take that, and then just grab one little bag of gummy worms. Kids are grabbing the gummy worms every time. What's my point? What are you grabbing with your life? What are you feeding your soul? What are you feeding your spirit? What you feed grows. Listen, Walk Church, you can't live off the candy of the world. You can't just live. There's no substance there. I'm aware we live in what's oftentimes titled the city of sin. Now, we know it as the city of him, right? Because God is doing a great work. This gathering is evidence alone of the activity of the Spirit of God at work in our city. But here's what we realize. A lot of people come to Las Vegas for other stuff. And it's not working. And I just want to encourage you got to examine what you're feeding, because what you feed grows. The more you feed the Spirit, the more the Spirit will feed you. If I could just give you one example of this, I would take you to a place in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, where Jesus encounters a woman at the well in a city called Samaria. It's one of my favorite stories in the scripture. If you've never read it, that's your homework for today. Just read all of John 4. But it's in this moment where Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "We must go through Samaria." Now, technically, they didn't have to go through Samaria. There was plenty of other roads that could have led them back to Galilee. But Jesus, knowing that he had a divine appointment with a broken, sinful, struggling woman at the well, that he wanted to change her life and her legacy. And so Jesus says, "No, we must go through Samaria." The disciples felt some type of way about that, because Samaritans were considered to be unclean and outcast and, in a way, dirty. Here Jesus is. Walks straight up to the well, sees the woman there, asks her for a drink of the Samaritan water. That's our Savior, amen? He goes to the outcast, marginalized, burdened, struggling people, and he says, "I still have more for you." This is what he does here in John chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus is teaching us here today that he possesses living water. Because, right, what does she say back to Jesus in John 4? She says, "How are you, a Jew, a rabbi, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a sip of my water?" Something's off. Jesus says, "If you knew who was talking to you, you would ask me for a sip of water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. He continues, the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen. Jesus radically transforms this woman's story with this reality that he possesses the living water. Now, if you kept reading, Jesus kind of puts her on blast a little bit because she says, give me some of this living water. And Jesus says, why don't you go ask your husband, right? And he knows that she's been married and divorced 5 times, but Jesus is trying to show her through her own story, you're looking for the living water in the wrong places. He's trying to help her see it's not working. Your codependent lifestyle is not working. You're looking for it. You're turning over rocks. It's not there. It's him. It's not Jesus plus. And so here's what that's teaching us, because I believe one of the applications of what Jesus means when he says water welling up to eternal life, he's referencing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who doesn't run dry, who doesn't leave us, who doesn't just stay for a moment, but in fact stays with us for all our days. Want to encourage you to feed the Spirit. Maybe today you would say, how do I feed the Spirit? What does that look like? Well, I think, let me give you some spirit feeders. These pages right here. I don't go, if you go here, doesn't really matter. Just make sure that you're feeding the Spirit. Something about the living book. The word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing through the bones and division right to the heart. Listen to me, Walk Church, hear me. Online, hear me. I think the Holy Spirit leaps when you open the Bible. I think that's why there's such a warfare on you to actually do it. The enemy will throw every distraction at you possible as long as you walk by the book, good or bad. But when you open up the word, you feed the Spirit. Come on, spirit feeders. How about, you know what? I think the Holy Spirit gets excited when you worship. I think the Holy Spirit gets excited when you say, I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you bring life within. I'll pour out my praise again. I think the Holy Spirit goes, let's go. We're eating today. Yeah. You're feeding me today. I think the Holy Spirit loves when we say, I praise because you're sovereign. I praise because you reign. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave, right? When we lift our voices and we declare his promises, God to Abraham, God from age to age, right? Your word remains the same, right? When we sing, when we lift our hearts, you activate and you feed and you bless and you do something different in the spiritual in times of worship. Feed the Spirit by getting to, I think the Holy Spirit loves when you go to church. The Holy Spirit loves when you get around the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit, this is a spiritual workout here. You're in the gym right now. You're getting stronger. Your spiritual life's getting stronger. Come on, don't rob the feeding of the Spirit by going to church when you feel like it. The Holy Spirit feels like it.
Yeah.
He feels like going.
Yeah.
He feels like getting in this room and seeing what he wants to do. I want to encourage you to feed the Spirit. I was talking to Nina, my wife, yesterday. And she just said randomly while we were driving, she goes, you know what? I finished reading the whole book of Job this morning. And I was like you read like the first like 7 chapters or like the whole 42 chapters. She goes, no, I've been reading through the book of Job for the past month, just every day getting in the word. And she just goes, you know what? I know God better. I have something more to share. Look, when you feed the Spirit, he'll start feeding people through you. I feel sharper than I was. It's like, you've been in the Word. You can tell when you've been around somebody who's been in the Word. Come on. You can tell when you've been around somebody who hasn't been in the Word. Listen, you're always going to be more agitated, a little bit more arrogant, a little bit more self-sufficient, self-righteous when you're away from God and his Word. I want to encourage you to feed the Spirit. Something about feeding the Spirit is going to make you the best version of you. Get around the Spirit feeders. So point number one, you need the Spirit. Point number two, feed the Spirit. Point number three, heed the Spirit. Heed the Spirit. What does the word heed mean? I spent some time looking at the word heed. The Oxford Dictionary defines heed. Pay attention to. Take notice of. to heed something means that you're taking awareness and focus and attention to it. Come on. I want to heed the word of God here today. I love what Proverbs 18, verse 2 talks about. It says, I was reading this, in fact, in the scriptures this morning. It says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Come on, don't be that foolish person, all right? That you never heed the Spirit, you just share your opinion. What if the Spirit has a different opinion, amen? Come on, look at this verse with me, another proverb that I want to point our attention to. Proverbs 10, verse 17. Whoever heeds, see the word? Whoever heeds instruction, Lord, instruct me today, is on the path to life. But he who rejects reproof, you can't correct me. You can't tell me nothing. Only God can judge me. That's your problem. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you know the judge. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. If you don't heed the instruction of the Holy Spirit, you might lead the other people around you in the wrong direction. To heed means you want to lean in, not just lean back, lean in. Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? I want to heed your instruction. I wrote it down like this in my notes. Heed the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person? The Holy Spirit, he lives within us. It's a real person. Here's what Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:30. He says, do not grieve. Have you ever been grieved before? The feeling of grieving? We could do that to the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I love a bunch of parts about this verse. I think my favorite part about the verse is it says, we're sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is not leaving you.
Right.
So don't grieve him. I once heard somebody say the most miserable person in the world is a Christian living in sin. Because the Holy Spirit inside you is holy and he's grieving that decision that's destroying you. And he so wants you to win that he feels the grief of your decision. And so that's why we don't want to grieve the Spirit. We want to heed the Spirit. I like how the NLT translation says it. Look at Ephesians 4:30 in the NLT. It says it like this. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, hey, just the fact that you sense and feel the Holy Spirit is evidence that he is doing a work in you and he will bring it to completion. Amen. So heed his voice, knowing that he knows what's best for you. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Come on, how many of you know the Holy Spirit is a blazing fire within us? Powerful, at work. Come on, don't dump some water on the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would even say, if you really are about this life, ask the Holy Spirit to increase your sensitivity to his voice. Charles Stanley, preacher out of the Atlanta area, once said, God will never direct us to be prideful, arrogant, and unforgiving, immoral, or slothful, or full of fear. We step into these things because we are insensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit within us. Wow. We step into these areas not because we're directed by God, but because we're not heeding the voice of the Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit's soft, still whisper. It's those promptings from the Holy Spirit within that we need to heed that instruction, which leads to even greater joy. Amen? Greater purpose, greater value in life. You know, I caught some of this principle recently on the golf course. A couple weeks ago, I got an opportunity to play a few rounds of golf in Augusta, Georgia. I know it was wild. Now, I wasn't on the Augusta National course, but I was on some that were close to it, okay? Just being 100. And we went out there, and I brought a brother from church with me and got to be a part of a special ministry that held this retreat for pastors and leaders. And we got to play these rounds. And I remember going out there that first day and I thought to myself, man, there's nothing like golf that will expose you. And what I mean by that is if you can't play, you can't play. Because it's just you and your club and the golf ball. And I'll just be 100. I got some new golf shoes. I had a nice golf polo. I look like I could play, but I haven't played enough. And so when it was just me out there with my club, I said, Lord, something about golf, right? Something about golf that I put this down as a reality statement. Life is a lot like golf because, you know, golf could be long at times depending on what 18 holes you're playing. All 18 could be different. You never know what is coming around the corner. Some may be a little bit hilly. Some might have some more sand. Some have some water around it. And it feels like a round of golf. Listen, we teed off at 8 a.m. We didn't get done till 2. That's a long time to be bad at something. Pray for me. I also learned, like, when you're getting ready to golf and you, like, kind of line up, the people you're with all become golf coaches. They're like, hey, wait, before you go, just make sure you point your thumbs down. I'm like, I got it. They're like, wait. You were looking forward. You're supposed to be looking down. I was like, okay. Like, oh, wait. Tilt your shoulders. I was like, listen, everybody, leave me alone. That's the pride coming out, right? And so we're on our way to the first hole, and I'm a little bit nervous because I'm playing with real golfers. The same miniature putt. And I noticed right behind me, there's an individual riding on our golf cart. And I look back and I say, hey, who's this guy? And they say, oh, that's Kevin. That's our caddy. And I never played with a caddy. And so they put me on game real quick. They're like, a caddy is somebody assigned to our cart to make sure that we're doing what we need. And if we need some help and whatever that may be, he's going to go with us throughout the whole thing. And so I go up. First hole, line up, and I look back, and there's Kevin staring at me. And I almost said, what are you looking at? I said, I'm going to hit this golf ball. Missed the ball. I looked back. I said, practice swing. Wasn't a practice. Anyways, we get a couple holes down the road, and I see Kevin back there. And finally, I go over to him, and I say, hey, Kevin. What am I doing wrong? And I remember he looked at me and he said, you're not doing that bad. You actually got some good mechanics. Let me help you with just a couple things. I think you'll even be better in the next hole. In fact, we walked over to the clubs. He goes, you're using this one a lot? This isn't the right one. Try this one. I said, oh, okay. He said, let's just go ahead and let's see how you do on this one. The next hole, my best shot yet. I looked back and he winked at me. Like, you got this, right? We go another few holes. I said, what should I use this time? He goes, look, let's put this away. He goes, look, you're about 100 few yards out. Let's grab a different club right now because this is going to put you not too high over. You don't want to shoot it over. You want to just get there on the green. And I went over to the golf guys. I said, I'm going to use this one this time because I don't want to shoot it over. I want to get there right on the green. You know what I'm saying? They go, this guy knows what he's talking about. Looked at Kevin, winked at him, right? This is my dude, Kevin, up here on the screen. I said, Kev, I got to get a picture of you. This is me and my golf caddy. I used my form, had a nice hit it right into the water. I looked at Kevin. He tossed me a ball. He said, you're going to make the next one. Next hit, got up there on the green. Said, all right, let's try it this time. For 18 holes, this dude was patient, coaching. Here's me. Dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. He goes, why do you keep saying sorry? I'm here to help you. Right. He goes, my job, I'm assigned to just make sure you finish this thing. And it hit me. Come on, somebody. That this golf caddy in my life was a picture of the Holy Spirit. Brother, sister, listen. The Holy Spirit is assigned to make sure that you stay aligned, to make sure that you get to the finish line. It don't matter how you get there. You just got to get there, right? And the Holy Spirit, hey, look, you might come over to the Holy Spirit goes, hey, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, good. Let's go with the goodness here today. Come on, right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit says, hey, let's change up the rhythm a little bit this time. Hey, hey, you're going to make the next one. You know what? The next day after we played that day, I felt better about my game. I leveled up. I'm like telling people I'm a golfer. Telling everybody what I learned from Kevin. Isn't that how the Holy Spirit will do a great work in your life? Give you some confidence. I think everybody needs to be encouraged. I think everybody just needs a little encouragement. Hey, you're going to make the next one. The next day, we get into the golf cart, round two. That feeling comes back. We're playing a brand new course. Kevin jumps on our cart. I said, Kev, you're back. He goes, man, I'm grateful I got assigned to you guys again. And I was like, guys, my coach is back. My coach is back. I had so much confidence just knowing he was coming, right? Listen, tomorrow when you wake up, acknowledge the Holy Spirit and say, my coach is back. My sealed for the day of redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
The Holy Spirit is committed to you to see you make it. And so when he gives you some instruction, when he gives you some coaching, when he gives you some encouragement, when he gives you some conviction, it's not for your bad. It's so that you can put the ball in the hole.
Right.
It's so that you can make the next one.
Right.
It's so that you can experience more love, more joy, more peace, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more faithfulness, more self-control. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, we all need a caddy. Amen? Our caddy is the Holy Spirit. And he's so much more than that. So today, if you don't know him, if you're not walking by the Spirit, that's the invitation today, that you would put your faith in Jesus, that you'd be filled with the promise keeper, the Holy Spirit of God, who his assignment is to get you to the finish line. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word today. God, I thank you for your word in general. God, I thank you for the Father. I thank you for the Son. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit, who has seen us on our best days and our worst days and remains the same. Thank you for sending your Spirit to help us in our weaknesses, for we don't know what to pray for, but he does. And even with groans that are too hard for us to understand, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. For he is working all things together for our good, for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to pray for you today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I just want to talk to you for 1 minute. Maybe you got invited. Maybe you've been coming to church. Maybe you've been exploring. What does it look like to go all in? This could be your moment to respond. I believe it would make the Holy Spirit glad for you to receive Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as your King. So if you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you're ready to receive Jesus, not if you've done it before, but if you're ready to receive him now, and you're ready to surrender your life to him, would you just lift your hand? I just want to identify with you. More so, he wants to identify with your profession. God, you see the hands that are up. God, you see people that are responding all over the room in some capacity, and those online. And I want to invite you to pray a prayer of faith with me now. Now, it's not this faith. It's not a magical formula. What it is, it's just articulating words for what you believe. So just call his name. Just say, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying on the cross.
Dying on the cross.
For my sins.
My sins.
And thank you for rising from the grave.
Rising from the grave.
Defeating death.
Defeating death.
Defeating Satan.
Satan.
Defeating hell. And bringing me with you.
Bring me with you.
I trust you.
Trust.
As my God.
My God.
And my Savior.
My Savior.
Fill me. With your Holy Spirit.
Your Holy Spirit.
Fill every part of me.
Every part of me.
I need you.
Need you.
and I love you.
Love you.
I trust you.
Trust you. And
I'm ready to walk
by the Spirit.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, praise God. Praise God.